Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 275. Praise now, creative mind, maker of earth and heaven. Glory and power to him belong. Joy of the sun and skies, strength where the hills arise. So let us praise with joy and song. Hymn number 275. Wendy from South Carolina will read from the scriptures.
I will read from the Bible, Isaiah. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Thus said the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. And beside me there is no God. And who as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people? And the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. I will open the rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 58. Father, we, thy loving children, lift our hearts in joy today, knowing well that thou wilt keep us ever in thy blessed way. Thou art love, and thou art wisdom. Thou art life, and thou art all. In thy spirit, living, moving, we shall neither faint nor fall. Hymn number 58.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin our Sunday mornings here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, which is a training session in practical Christian science. We discuss this week's lesson, other topics that need to be discussed, and learn how to practice better Christian science. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com, and you can also find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m., and that Sunday school is available for children just about anywhere. It has its own dedicated teleconference number. Many of our Sunday school students don't live in the area, but they attend via telephone. And that means that if you don't live in the area, but have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend. Just call the church on the regular church number, and we will give you the number for the Sunday school, and our Sunday school teachers will be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives vastly improved through the study and practice of Christian science. And at all of our services, we have a nursery available for infants and toddlers. So if you do show up in person, you can bring the whole family. We have now, I believe, 21 different websites, all in different languages. And every one of our websites brings the finest of Christian science literature to people around the world, and in many cases, in their own language. As a result, many of you around the world have found one or more of our websites and have found the healing truth of Christian science. And for that, we're very grateful, because everything on all of our websites is offered free of charge and with the love of our church. One of the articles that's currently featured on our English language website, I would like to recommend, short but really quite important, entitled Listening to God by Gilbert Carpenter. God is speaking to us. The trick is how to listen. Anyway, it's a good article. I recommend it highly. And everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now, we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from the book Miscellaneous Writings, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Izzy from England.
Miscellaneous Writings, page 419. A lady, with no other instructor than Science and Health with Keith the Scriptures, has demonstrated, beyond many who have taken numerous lessons, persuaded through her reading of the allness of God and the perfectness of idea, she would know nothing else. A daughter, so badly affected by poison oak, ivy, that for weeks death was feared from blood poisoning, had recovered with a terrible dread of that plant. As the next season's picnic time drew near, she was regretting that she dared not go again. The mother, with her newborn faith in the science of being, said, "Certainly you can go, for nothing can harm you." Assured by these words, the daughter went, and in her rambles, fell into a mass at the dreaded plant, but trusting to the word of truth, she thought nothing of it, till one who knew of her previous trouble said, in her mother's presence, "See, her face is showing red already." But the mother was prompt in denial and assurance. Next morning, old symptoms were out in force, but they yielded at once and finally to the positive and uncompromising hold on truth. Another daughter that was thought too delicate to raise from bronchial and nervous troubles, always dosed with medicine and wrapped in flannels, now runs free and well without either of these, winter and summer. The mother was recently attacked by mesmerism from the church that believed she was influencing her daughter to leave. She overcame by the same unwavering trust in God, seeing truth clearer than ever before. Her demonstrations come through no form of treatment, but by letting the Spirit bear witness, by the positive recognition and realization of no reality but ever-present good. The other night, her husband was attacked with an old belief, similar to one that sometime before had ended in a congestive chill, which the doctor thought very serious. The wife simply recognized no reality in the belief, and, being only perfect being, felt no fear. She did nothing, no treating in the usual sense. There is nothing to do but to understand that all is harmony, always. He felt the presence that destroys the sense of evil, and next morning, there was nothing left to recover from. A lady, while doing some starching, thoughtlessly put her hand into the scalding starch to wring out a collar. Recalled to mortal sense by the stinging pain, she immediately realized the all-power of God. At once, the pain began to subside, and as she brushed off the scalding starch, she could see the blister swelling go down till there was but a little redness to show for the accident. Absorbed in her thankfulness, she mechanically wrung out the collar with the same hand and with no sense of pain, thus verifying the demonstration. This woman, not reading English, only knows science as she has received it from her practitioner during the meat treatments received within the last month. So much has come to her from spirit through her loyalty to Christ, in so far as she could understand. A case of ulcerated tooth and neuralgic belief would only partially yield after repeated treatment, till it was discovered that the patient was antagonizing truth by holding the thought that her old remedy, laudanum, would give relief. Treated from this standpoint, relief was immediate and final. One morning, after a reverend had been preaching to thousands for several days, he told them he had never felt such a sense of depression, nor had so little showing of results. Some scientists, hearing this, at once saw his trouble. He had been fiercely exposing and denouncing evil, and it had turned on him, till the mesmerism was likely to overcome him entirely, for he did not understand the seeming power. The effect of the silent word to uplift and sustain was very manifest that evening in his preaching, and was a beautiful demonstration of science. He probably only felt spirit inspiration as he had not before, without a thought as to what had broken the evil spell. But we never know the what or when or where of the harvest we can sow. God giveth the increase. EHB, Sacramento.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook. These comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible text and their denominational, spiritual import, and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 22 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: God, the only cause and creator. The golden text is from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The responsive reading is from Psalms. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation.
He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved.
My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him.
He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved.
In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God.
Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us.
God hath spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Craig will now read.
The Bible, John. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Hebrews. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. 2 Kings. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hosea of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, they took it. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah, and took them. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan, and Rapsaris, and Rabshakeh from Lachish, to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. And Rabshakeh said unto them, Speak ye now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest, But they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now, on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered unto the hand of the king of Assyria. But the people held their peace, and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was, saying, answer him not. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asa, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah, the prophet of the son of Amoz. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he will hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. John. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jude. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Elizabeth from Georgia will now read.
I will read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The creative principle, life, truth, and love is God. The universe reflects God. There is but one creator and one creation. Dost thou love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind? This command includes much, even the surrender of all merely material sensation, affection, and worship. This is the El Dorado of Christianity. It involves the science of life and recognizes only the divine control of spirit, in which soul is our master, and material sense and human will have no place. To have one God and avail yourself of the power of spirit, you must love God supremely. God is natural good and is represented only by the idea of goodness, while evil should be regarded as unnatural because it is opposed to the nature of spirit God. Christian Science reveals incontrovertibly that mind is all in all, that the only realities are the divine mind and idea. This great fact is not, however, seen to be supported by sensible evidence until its divine principle is demonstrated by healing the sick and thus proved absolute and divine. This proof once seen, no other conclusion can be reached. Few persons comprehend what Christian Science means by the word reflection. To himself, mortal and material man seems to be substance, but his sense of substance involves error and therefore is material, temporal. On the other hand, the immortal, spiritual man is really substantial and reflects the eternal substance or spirit which mortals hope for. He reflects the divine, which constitutes the only real and eternal entity. This reflection seems to mortal sense transcendental because the spiritual man's substantiality transcends mortal vision and is revealed only through divine science. As God is substance and man is the divine image and likeness, man should wish for, and in reality has, only the substance of good, the substance of spirit, not matter. The belief that man has any other substance or mind is not spiritual and breaks the first commandment, thou shalt have one God, one mind. Let us rid ourselves of the belief that man is separated from God and obey only the divine principle, life and love. Here is the great point of departure for all true spiritual growth. God has endowed man with inalienable rights. among which are self-government, reason, and conscience. Man is properly self-governed only when he is guided rightly and governed by his Maker, divine truth, and love. Jesus acknowledged no ties of the flesh. He recognized Spirit God as the only Creator, and therefore as the Father of all. First in the list of Christian duties, he taught his followers the healing power of truth and love. The erring human mind is inharmonious in itself. From it arises the inharmonious body. To ignore God as of little use in sickness is a mistake. Instead of thrusting him aside in times of bodily trouble and waiting for the hour of strength in which to acknowledge him, we should learn that he can do all things for us in sickness as in health. Failing to recover health through adherence to physiology and hygiene, the despairing invalid often drops them, and in his extremity, and only as a last resort, turns to God. The invalid's faith in the divine mind is less than in drugs, air, and exercise, or he would have resorted to mind first. The balance of power is conceded to be with matter by most of the medical systems. But when mind at last asserts its mastery over sin, disease, and death, then is man found to be harmonious and immortal. Should we implore a corporeal God to heal the sick out of his personal volition? Or should we understand the infinite divine principle which heals? If we rise no higher than blind faith, the science of healing is not attained, and soul existence, in the place of sense existence, is not comprehended. We apprehend life in divine science only as we live above corporeal sense and correct it. Our proportionate admission of the claims of good or of evil determines the harmony of our existence, our health, our longevity, and our Christianity. We cannot serve two masters, nor perceive divine science with the material senses. Drugs and hygiene cannot successfully usurp the place and power of the divine source of all health and perfection. If God made man both good and evil, man must remain thus. What can improve God's work? Again, an error in the premise must appear in the conclusion. As mortals gain more correct views of God and man, multitudinous objects of creation, which before were invisible, will become visible. When we realize that life is spirit, never in nor of matter, this understanding will expand into self-completeness, finding all in God good, and needing no other consciousness. Spirit and its formations are the only realities of being. Matter disappears under the microscope of spirit. We know that a desire for holiness is requisite in order to gain holiness. But if we desire holiness above all else, we shall sacrifice everything for it. We must be willing to do this, that we may walk securely in the only practical road to holiness. Prayer cannot change the unalterable truth, nor can prayer alone give us an understanding of truth. But prayer, coupled with a fervent habitual desire to know and do the will of God, will bring us into all truth. Such a desire has little need of audible expression. It is best expressed in thought and in life. Those instructed in Christian Science have reached the glorious perception that God is the only author of man.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 253. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. O'er waiting harp strings of the mind, there sweeps a strain, low, sad, and sweet, whose measures bind the power of pain, and wake a white-winged angel throng of thoughts, illumined by faith, and breathed in raptured song, with love perfumed. Hymn number 253.
Thank you.
Let's now sing hymn number 246. O thou who spreadest the heaven like a tent, he who depends on thee ne'er is forespent. Still for his might on thee he ever counteth. On wings of eagles he unwearied mounteth. Have ye not heard? Have ye not known? The everlasting God, Creator, is of heaven and earth, and He alone is Lord. Hymn number 246.
Thank you. I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Psalms. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Amen.